Well, we're coming this evening to the book of Exodus, please, in the chapter 10. The book of Exodus in the chapter 10. It's great to be back with you again this evening. Thanks to Mark for leading. It helps even off me a wee bit, so it's greatly appreciated. Someone else can have my sweet. I've had half a bag of jelly babies this afternoon, so that's me settled for the day. Exodus chapter 10 tonight, folks. Exodus chapter 10, reading from verse 27. And tonight we're going to look at the worst prayer that God can answer. The worst prayer that God can answer. Exodus chapter 10, reading from verse 27, just the last three verses of chapter 10, please. And the word of God says, "But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. And Pharaoh said unto him," that's unto Moses, "Get thee from me, take heed to thyself, and see my face no more. For in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die." And Moses said, "Thou hast spoken well. I will see thy face again no more." Amen. And we do trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts this evening. The Lord is a God who hears our prayers. The Lord is a God who's willing to answer our prayers. And he's not just willing to answer prayer, of course, but he's able to answer prayer. The word of God tells us he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. He can certainly answer prayer and more. Whenever mankind brings requests to him, when they bring circumstances to him, when they bring conditions to him, the Lord is able to intervene and the Lord is able to do very powerful works. There's things that we pray for that God permits. There's things that we pray for that God answers no to. Whenever we think of the worst prayer that God could ever answer, or the worst request that God could ever grant, verse 28 of Exodus chapter 10 has to be very high up the list. To turn to the God who has been patient with him over a prolonged period of rejection, a prolonged period of rebellion, a long period of resistance, and to bluntly say to his servant, "See my face no more," would be the last time that God would show respite to Pharaoh. And we'll go through the life of Pharaoh this evening just to really grasp a picture of how crude this prayer was to God and how it truly is one of the worst prayers that God could ever answer, one of the worst requests that God could ever grant. And if you're not saved tonight, whether you're here or you're watching from home, consider these things as well. How long has God been pleading with you? How many opportunities have been afforded to you to come to him? How many more times do you plan on rejecting him? Are these words that Pharaoh uttered close to rolling off your tongue as well? Is this prayer one that you plan to be making soon because you continue to live a life without Christ? If you're in that position, or if you're not far away from that position, look at these words tonight and we'll study them together. We'll look at the life of Pharaoh and all that God had done to him. Indeed, even all that God had done for him. And we'll see just how dangerous a prayer this can be for God to answer for you this evening. As we think of the worst prayer that God can answer, whenever we consider Pharaoh's life, and particularly in those times from the plagues, and even from before the plagues a little bit as well, we see how God displays himself to Pharaoh. You know, God didn't just come to Pharaoh in condemnation right away, but God demonstrated himself to Pharaoh in many ways, and in very powerful ways, over a course of a number of months, if not a number of years here with the various plagues. And God displayed himself in very particular and very powerful ways. God displayed himself in a very powerful way. Up until this point, 9 different plagues had already been sent to the land of Egypt to disprove each one of the supposed Egyptian gods. You know, whenever we read of the plagues, they weren't just sent as a general nuisance, but the various plagues that came on the land was a direct attack, as it were, on the supposed Egyptian deities. There was the gods of the crops. There was even a god that had the head of a frog. And so whenever the Lord sent the frogs, it wasn't just a nuisance. He was deliberately showing how he is the only true and living God, to display his power and to display his glory. God had moved in a very powerful way right throughout the land of Egypt. And it wasn't just the commoners that suffered. It wasn't just the everyday people on the street, the blue-collar workers, as it were, that suffered. But it was Pharaoh on the very throne that suffered all these things as well. He knew the hand of God in a very powerful way. The whole land of Egypt knew the hand of God moving against them in a very powerful way. Water supply was disrupted whenever the Nile was turned to blood. Food supply was disrupted whenever the cattle were killed, whenever the locusts came and ate of the crops. After even the hail came and destroyed the crops in the first place, health was ruined. Whenever the plague of boils came upon the land, comfort was ruined. Whenever the plague of darkness came upon the land, wealth was ruined. And Egypt was just left in ruins already. And yet Pharaoh boldly says to God's servant, "Get thee from me and see my face no more." God had displayed himself powerfully in Pharaoh's life. Everything had been stripped from him. Everything had been stripped from the land of Egypt. There was nowhere else for him to turn to. All of his supposed Egyptian gods had already been beaten, had already been destroyed, had already been proven false. His magicians that he had, his right-hand men that tried to disprove God in the earlier plagues, had to stand back and say, "We can do nothing to help you out here." Pharaoh's world was done. All those who were closest to him had failed. God was the only one who could turn around Pharaoh's life. God was the only one who could change Pharaoh's heart. But still, this is Pharaoh's conclusion in verse 28. "Get thee from me. Take heed to thyself and see my face no more." Maybe the Lord has been dealing with you. Whether it's been recently or whether it's even been over the course of a few years now, maybe God's been speaking to you. Has God been proving himself in a powerful way in times past? Has God done things in your life? Have things come across life's pathway that only could have come from the hand of God, that only could have happened because of the Lord? Is the Lord trying to get your attention tonight? Have you spent a lifetime rejecting him, and still he's trying to get your attention? Yes, the Lord may have sent difficult things, but thank the Lord tonight that he didn't give you up the first time you heard the gospel. Thank him tonight that he's still trying to get your attention, that he's still trying to draw you unto himself. The psalmist says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." Those who wrote the psalms understood that God had sometimes to get their attention in a very powerful way before they appreciated the goodness of God. And they had to feel the effects of sin to truly appreciate his love and his care and his concern. And that's for saved people. If you're not saved, you felt the effects of sin for a lifetime. You've known what it is to live a life of sin. You've known what it is to live a life of separation from God. And even in that life, God is still trying to display himself to you in a powerful way. Let me ask you tonight, how many more effects of sin do you have to feel before you turn to him? How much longer are you going to put up with the misery and ruin of a life that sin brings before you finally bow the knee and come to the Savior? Be grateful even that you're still in this position before you reach the point that Pharaoh did, and trying to finally silence the voice of God. Whenever we think of God displaying himself to Pharaoh, we see that God showed him powerful ways as he displayed himself. But even throughout the plagues, before we get to this point in Exodus chapter 10, God displayed himself in pardon. God was willing to forgive Pharaoh. God was willing to step in and turn around the life of Pharaoh. He even did so whenever the plagues were relieved out of the land of Egypt. Whenever Pharaoh pleaded for Moses' God to take away the frogs. And it says Moses entreated for Pharaoh, and God answered Pharaoh's request. He took the frogs away. How God was gracious to him. How God was willing to pardon him, was willing to be gracious and merciful to him. He didn't just display his glory and his justice. He didn't just send Pharaoh into condemnation, but he was also willing to display mercy to him. He was willing also to show grace to Pharaoh. And 9 times the plagues came. 9 times the plagues, to some extent, were relieved. And still Pharaoh comes to this conclusion, see my face no more. Still he wouldn't repent. Still he wouldn't come to know the offer of forgiveness that God was willing to extend to him. Paul challenges those who are unsaved in terms of the goodness that God has shown to them over the course of their life. He says to sinners in Romans chapter 2 in the verse 4, despisest thou the riches of his goodness, of his forbearance and his long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. God has been merciful to you. God has been gracious to you. God, who is the holy, righteous judge of all the earth, had every right to take you from this scene of time whenever you first sinned against him. Never mind the sins committed over the course of a whole lifetime. And yet over that lifetime, God has been good. God has been gracious. God has been merciful. And even with that, you've robbed of God for a lifetime. You've robbed of his goodness. Even though he has displayed pardon, even though he has shown you what he can do in a fuller extent, how he can cleanse of all sin, how he can forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, still you choose to reject him. Still you take of him what you can and forget about ever coming to him. You see it in Pharaoh's heart, it may well be in your heart as well. Even though God is still trying to get your attention, is there that intention in your heart that soon will come to fruition for you to say these words to the Lord, see my face no more? How God displayed himself to Pharaoh, he showed power, he showed pardon, even in seasons in Pharaoh's life, and with noticed it already, really, how Pharaoh even knew periods of peace. Pharaoh knew that God could remove burdens and troubles in a moment. Pharaoh knew that God was able to relieve, whether it be an individual or a nation, of trouble just like that. Again, he pleaded for Moses, for God to take away the various plagues. And early on, God did answer Pharaoh's requests. He saw God could deal with it. He saw God was able to turn things around again. He saw how God could very powerfully and yet very personally intervene. He had experienced it before. He knew all about it. He had seen it done. And yet over all those things being shown to him, still he says to God, see my face no more. Still he refused to obey the Lord. Still he refused this offer of forgiveness from God. You know, whenever the old people or the Old Testament people of Israel were rebelling against the Lord, or one of the times rather that the Old Testament Israel was rebelling against the Lord, God pleaded with them to remember the great times of peace that they had known. To remember how God had intervened, how God had displayed himself and was able to help them and was able to comfort them and was able to undertake for them. He said, oh, that thou had hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river. Is there one here tonight with a troubled heart? Is there someone here who's just known trouble after trouble after trouble? And yet through it all still doesn't come to the Lord, who through it all perhaps has even known the Lord's intervening, who has had perhaps prayers answered in times past, and still it won't come to the one who has helped in times past. See how dangerous a prayer this can be. We'll see what happened in a few moments' time to Pharaoh once these words were uttered. But before you, if you're not saved, come to uttering these words, consider all these things. How God has displayed himself in recent times. We see God, we think of God's displays to Pharaoh before Pharaoh uttered these words. I want us to think as well of God's delays with Pharaoh before Pharaoh uttered these words, because again, God didn't take Pharaoh out of this scene of time. God didn't strike Pharaoh down the first chance he got. But time after time, God was merciful to Pharaoh. God displayed himself to Pharaoh, giving him opportunity after opportunity to turn round and come to the Lord, to do what it was God commanded him to do, to let the people of Israel go. He gave Pharaoh multiple chances to react. He gave Pharaoh multiple chances to consider the one that he was standing before, to consider the one that he was rebelling against. Whenever we see these 10 plagues happening, they didn't just come one after another immediately. But whenever the last frog was gone, the next plague didn't come immediately in. But there was a short, even if it was a short time, it was a time nonetheless of relief. A time for Pharaoh and all of Egypt to think on what had just happened. How something terrible had come in a moment, and yet in a moment was taken away once again. Whenever they lifted up their voice to God for this thing to be removed from them, for this thing to be taken away from them, how God very mercifully granted their request in those early days of the plagues. And yet various times throughout these early chapters of Exodus, whenever that request is granted, we read how Pharaoh hardened his heart. Even though it was a great time of turmoil in Egypt, we already mentioned the various ways in which the land and the people suffered. They were left with virtually nothing. And yet after each plague came, he still would not come to the Lord. He still would not do what God wanted him to do. Do you know what Peter says about the Lord? He says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Think of the many times God has given you a chance to react to the gospel. Think of the many times God has given you to react to what he is able to do in a life. Think of those times where after God even has answered prayer, whether it be for healing, whether it be for intervention in many ways, and perhaps God has been merciful to you, and God has been gracious to you. He's given you that chance to react to his power, to his word, to his nature, to his character, to everything that he says he is. And yet, chance after chance, time after time, you've still forsaken him. You've still rejected him. Here tonight, he has given one more opportunity in his grace for you to come to the Savior. He's given you another hour here on a Sunday evening to think about Calvary, to think about the Son of God who loves you and gave himself for you, who willingly left the realms and the riches and the splendors and the glories of heaven to come into this sin-cursed world, to live that life of full obedience to the law of God that you and I could never live, yet to die a death that you and I deserved. As the wrath of God in its fullness was poured out on him on that middle tree, that there is that opportunity of salvation, there is that opportunity of forgiveness of sins, there is that opportunity of cleansing. How many times has God given you a chance to react to that? How many times have you heard it? How many times have you read about it? How many more opportunities do you expect God to give you to react to the gospel? See how God has delayed with Pharaoh. See how God has delayed with you. How God continues to give chances and opportunities to consider him. He gave Pharaoh a chance to react. He gave chance to Pharaoh to respect him as well. He gave Pharaoh again throughout all these plagues as the power of God and as the plagues, as you could say, just seemed to grow in intensity and grow in the effect that they reached and the destruction and the devastation that they caused. We didn't even come to the plague of death whenever Pharaoh uttered these words. But all these times, God gave Pharaoh a chance to respect his name. You know, whenever Moses came to Pharaoh that first time, whenever God spoke to Moses from the burning bush and told him to go to Pharaoh, whenever Moses went to Pharaoh and told Pharaoh that God had told him to let the people go, Pharaoh said to Moses, "Who is the Lord? Who is the Lord?" Here in Exodus chapter 10, Pharaoh certainly knew who the Lord was now. It took a painful time. It took a devastating and a destructive time. But now he knew who the Lord was. God had given them these chances to know him. Many times, yes, by force. But here he did know who the Lord was. And now it was time for him to humble himself under the mighty hand of God. But rather than do that, he prays, "See my face no more." Maybe you've lived a lifetime of determining never to bow the knee to Christ. Maybe you've set it in your heart and your mind that you're never going to get right with God. Maybe you've settled once and for all that you'll never acknowledge Christ as your Savior. I remember it was nearly 10 years ago now, Stephen Fry doing that interview with Gay Byrne on RTE. And he had in his mind all the things that he's ready to say to God on that day. If he ever does, he says. If he ever makes it to the pearly gates, he has all the questions and all the statements that he's ready to give God. In Philippians chapter 2, it tells us of that day where all mankind will stand before him. And it doesn't say anything about any pre-prepared questions or statements being brought to the throne of heaven. But it says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's many of us here tonight who have already done that by faith. There's many of us tonight who have already come to Calvary, who have already seen the sacrifice for sin, who have already acknowledged our sin, have already acknowledged our need of a Savior, and have come to the Lord Jesus Christ knowing that he is the only way we can have peace with God, knowing he's the only way our sins can be truly dealt with once for all. We've already bowed the knee in faith and said, "Jesus Christ is my Lord." You can do it by faith tonight as well. And if you don't do it by faith this side of eternity, you'll do it by force on that day where he is crowned. And he is crowned Lord of all. Lord of all the earth, not just all his people, but all the earth. God has given you a chance to react to him. God's given you a chance to respect him. God's given you a chance to repent as well. You know, God doesn't display his glory just to leave you in a sinful state, just to leave you in a place of despondency, just to leave you in a place where you're left with no hope. But he wants to show you Christ. He wants to show you his perfect Son that is the ultimate Savior and the only Savior of the earth. Again, we see it with Pharaoh, how he didn't take Pharaoh's life the first chance he got, or even the second or the third chance he got, because we've already said God's the holy, righteous judge of all the earth. He had every right to. And yet throughout all this time, he had given Pharaoh many chances to repent. He was patient with giving Pharaoh opportunities. Even with all the times he rejected him. Even with all the times where Pharaoh seemed to indicate that he would maybe repent. You know, whenever the plague of frogs came again and Pharaoh asked Moses to take away the frogs, and once the frogs were taken away, then he'd let the people go. Pharaoh said he wanted the frogs gone tomorrow. The next day, the frogs were gone. Pharaoh didn't live up to his promise. He kept the people in the land. He kept them enslaved. One of the other plagues, he asked Moses, "If you do this, if you take this away, then I'll let the people go." The plague was gone. The people weren't gone. How many times Pharaoh changed his mind? How many times he hardened his heart? How many times God gave him a chance to repent, and each one he just rejected it. Each one he just threw it back in the face of God. What a dangerous thing to do if you're not saved. How many times has God given you a chance to repent? How many times even like Pharaoh, have you prayed, Lord, if you do this, then I'll get saved? And the Lord's done it. And you're still not saved. See how gracious God is. See how God, even after those things, still is trying to draw you to himself. He could have sent you to hell by now. Why will you abuse his grace another day? Why will you reject him one more time after all he has done for you? See God's displays to Pharaoh. See God's delays with Pharaoh. Sadly, though, God in his justice and in his holiness and in his righteousness can only do that for so long. God couldn't just swing wide the pearly gates so that Pharaoh could enter in. But God, in effect, granted Pharaoh's request. Get thee from me, take heed to thyself, and see my face no more. Pharaoh was swept into eternity in the Red Sea some 6,000 years ago. And to this day, 6,000 years later, God's still honoring Pharaoh's request. He's not going to see the face of God. He spent a lifetime rejecting him. He spent a lifetime without him. And he's spending eternity without him as well. Because we see God's displays with Pharaoh, we see his delays with Pharaoh, we see God's destruction of Pharaoh, sadly, as well. We see God answering his request. Moses says in verse 29, "Thou hast spoken well, I will see thy face again no more." The other requests that God had answered, the other prayers that God had answered, were ones in which Pharaoh would be relieved of trouble. Whenever Pharaoh prayed for the plagues to be taken, God acknowledged that prayer and he acknowledged that request, and the plagues were taken. Here's another request that Pharaoh makes, and God is willing to grant it. Get thee from me, take heed to thyself, and see my face no more. Pharaoh had rejected God over 10 times throughout these 9 plagues. If you're not saved, maybe it's been more than 10 times that you've heard the gospel and rejected it. Pharaoh had no intention of seeking forgiveness. And so God says, that's all right. All the opportunities have been spurned. All the chances were now gone. Whenever Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus after he gave that wonderful summary of the gospel, how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What a wonderful hope God gives to the world. Yet he says this only a few verses later about sinners. This is that condemnation, that light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light. If you're not saved, you can't say you love the Lord and continue in your sin. But men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Trying to keep that sin hidden from the sight of God. Trying to live as if God doesn't know about that sin. Trying to live as if you'll do enough to maybe keep God happy until that day you step into heaven. If you're not saved tonight, those opportunities could well be gone. There's an old hymn, I'm sure it's often sang here, "Dear sinner, the Saviour is striving with thee. What if he should strive nevermore, but leaves you alone in your darkness to dwell in sight of the heavenly shore?" Herod heard the preaching of John the Baptist. Herod had John the Baptist as a prisoner. He could have heard him any time he wanted. Herod heard John the Baptist preach about sin, righteousness, and judgment. But because he lusted after a woman and would do anything she wanted, he had him beheaded. Whenever Herod heard that Christ was coming to him as part of the trial before the crucifixion, it's where the Word of God says that Herod was exceeding glad because he had many questions to ask the Lord. He had a private audience with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he asked him many questions. The Bible says Christ answered him nothing. Not because he was bitter, because Herod killed John the Baptist. But because in the courts of heaven, Herod had silenced the voice of God to him. And as Christ stands before Herod, as eager as Herod was to speak with Christ, Christ had nothing more to say to him. Whenever we think about being saved, and this book says that once we're saved for time and eternity, it says we're sure of heaven as if we're already there. How haunting to think that Pharaoh was as sure of hell as if he was already there. There was a man who went to a church in Glasgow, a faithful church to the gospel, and he heard the gospel week after week for at least a dozen years. Never came to Christ. And somebody asked him, did you ever not think about being saved? Did you ever not know that you're a sinner? And he said, I know I need to be saved. I know that Christ is the Savior from all sin. I know what it is to be convicted of sin. But he says 12 years ago, in the middle of one of these gospel meetings, God was striving, God was speaking, God was convicting me of sin. And I'd prayed it many times before. I prayed, God, don't speak to me anymore. He says, the last 12 years, God's honored that request. What a haunting place to be in. To reject God so much that you could be as sure of hell as if you're already there. See how damning this is if God answers this prayer of yours to leave you alone. Because not only is this desire answered, but finally Pharaoh's death comes around and he reaps what he's sown. He leads his soldiers into the Red Sea to try and chase after the Israelites. The Hebrews reach the far side. The waters come down. And it says the Israelites saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. He had spent most of his life rejecting the Lord. And now he died without hope. He lived without him. And he died without him. You know, whenever we read of Judas, it says he went to his own place. After he hanged himself, after he died, he went to his own place. He went to the place he wanted to go to. If you're not saved, you spend a lifetime rejecting the Lord and you open your eyes in hell. It's ultimately where you wanted to be. You're left with no excuse. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Still, God holds out that offer of salvation to you. He's held it out many times before. And here tonight is one more opportunity. I'm not in the place of God. And so I don't have the final authority over it, but it could well be the last opportunity you have to come to Christ. We've seen it with Pharaoh, we've seen it with Herod. You can turn to many others in the Word of God who have that same experience, who just reject God once too much, and they're left alone in the sight of heaven, but die without Christ. And Pharaoh's damnation is assured whenever he takes his last breath, whenever the waters of the Red Sea came over him, and he closed his eyes in death and opened them in eternity. In a day yet to come, he will stand before the great white throne of judgment. And he will meet the one that he lived against, that he rejected many times before. For 7 of the plagues, Pharaoh was warned of the consequences of rejecting the Lord. Pharaoh was told what would happen to him if he didn't do what God wanted him to do to let the people of Israel go. Whenever it came to the plague of death, when it came to the plague of the death of the firstborn, Pharaoh got no warning. So it is with you and with me tonight. Death comes with no warning. Death comes with no appointed time for you and for me. We don't decide it. We're not given a heads up as to when it's coming. death comes with no warning. And so whenever that moment comes for you tonight, if you're outside of Christ, you can't say you have no excuse. You've heard enough about it. You've heard enough about death. You've heard enough about sin. You've heard enough about Calvary to know you should have prepared for that moment. And by willful resistance, you'll have drifted away over the deadline at last. It's what happened to Pharaoh. Whenever Pharaoh uttered these words, whenever Pharaoh gave this worst prayer that God could ever answer, there was no more plagues for him to repent from. No more opportunities for him to come back or to come to the Lord in the first place. No more times where he could say to God, if you do this, then I'll think about it. Or tomorrow, I'll do it. But it was time for him to go into eternity. For the child of God, as bitter and as painful as it may be for those we leave behind, that moment where we leave the scene of time is a great moment of victory and a great moment of hope and assurance. For we'll close our eyes in death and we'll open them in glory. There's a graveyard outside Stirling Castle in Scotland, and there's a plaque on it that says all the graves are pointed towards the east in anticipation for that day where Christ comes to the air and we forever meet him, and the dead in Christ rise to meet him. And on one of those gravestones is engraved the words, "A soul prepared needs no delay. The summons comes, the saint obeys. Swift was the flight and short the road. She closed her eyes and saw her God." She closed her eyes and saw her God. And that's what it'll be for you and for me, dear believer. Whenever that moment comes, we'll close our eyes and we'll see the Lord. One of the most haunting verses in all the Word of God is Isaiah chapter 14 and the verse 9. It says, "Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming." Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. How awful it would be for it to be said of you, "Hell just can't wait to have you." Think of all those who are there. Sinners who have rejected Christ time and time and time and time and time again. Those who are suffering the eternal punishment and wrath of sin because they've rejected Christ time and again. And if you were to die outside of Christ, hell's just ready to have you. I've already mentioned it in 2 Peter. "He is not willing that any should perish." It breaks the heart of God to see sinners die without him. To see Christ dying for their sins. To know that they could have been saved, but still to go to hell. No matter what you've done, no matter how great your sin is, no matter how many those sins are, it's not for me to know tonight. It's not for the person you're sitting beside to know. The Lord knows all about them anyway, and yet the Bible says, I am he that blots out thy transgressions and thy sins. I will remember no more." He can forgive them. He can cleanse you of them. He may have extended this opportunity many times before. Come to him tonight. Don't reject it anymore, lest the fate of Pharaoh follow you as well. How awful a prayer this is for God to answer. If you were to say these words tonight, God may very well grant them and all that comes with them. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this evening for his dear name's sake. Let's sing together as we close our time together. 319, if you're using the hymn books, 319. "Sinner, how thy heart is troubled. God is coming very near. Do not hide thy deep emotion. Do not check that falling tear." We'll stand together after we get the introduction, please.